Look, Robin Bailey away again, but really held down the fort. And it was a big show, great show. Billy Slater joined us.
Oh, I love that.
Billy Slater was on. That was good. I'll lend a hand for the Orange Sky Laundry. So many people diving in to help out there, which is really nice.
What about Peter Dutton? You wanted him on and you got him, and he told us how many people he's prepared to throw out of Australia.
Yep, the Minister for Turfing People Out. I love that you call him that. That's very funny. That was all a bit of fun. And then we got some reports from Houston and Japan. One's got missiles flying over it. One's got rain absolutely destroying it. So once again, we're very lucky to be living down here in Australia.
And also the Wednesday Remember When. Back in really my good. Day, Amazons really and Grundy's, two of the great water playgrounds, I like to call them.
Absolutely fantastic. Enjoy the catch-up.
Marto, Ed and Robin for breakfast. Doing it for Team Moto. They have your Father's Day shopping sorted.
Very, very quick one. You know, my wife's very pregnant. She's only a few little moments away from giving birth, which is very exciting. But we decided that people keep telling us, do things together before the baby arrives, because you'll never get to do anything ever again.
It changes considerably, but it doesn't end. You haven't been out forever.
No, that's very true. So I was like, right, that's it. Because we had to go and do my quiz show, and there was a place that we went to in Paris when we went on our honeymoon after two years late, a restaurant that we loved there has opened up in the city. Okay, just bizarrely. And she goes, look at this. And I said, okay, that's us. So I thought I'd surprise her.
Yeah.
So I got on there, I got home from the show and I said, hey, get your act together. Come on, put on a nice dress. She goes, none of them fit. I said, all right, we'll put on
some stretch tracksuit.
Whatever's
pants.
Left. Yeah, exactly. And that's we're going.
It's so bad.
And she's like, all right, okay, good.
How's she going? Does she carry? I was watching a good pregnant girl yesterday. I thought of you guys. Is she carrying it with two hands now, like the bump?
So the first thing that happened was I put the wrong address in the sat nav, so we ended up parking about not a kilometre, but a long way away from where this place was. Oh, so we had to walk, and she walked so slowly, the poor thing, and she has to stop because she keeps getting Braxton Hicks, those fake contractions. And then as we turned the corner, I realised I'd really stuffed up because there was a hill. We had to walk up a hill.
And
I'm walking and she goes, it's too heavy. So I had to walk. I promise you, I walked and I was holding up her bump. I was carrying her bump for her as we walked
backwards
up
a hill.
Yeah, as we walked up the street.
What a great look.
Yeah.
What a kind man. This is how some people make the baby come. They go on big walks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I haven't ever heard of that. Eat a curry and go on a big walk.
Interesting. See,
that's probably the least of your worries if you've eaten a big curry and go.
We might do that phoner in another week or so. How do you make the baby come?
Eat a big curry and go. As we're walking, I realised, I didn't want to say anything, but I'd got the street wrong, even in the address that I'd looked up on their Facebook page.
Job effort.
So she had to walk more, and she needed to go to the bathroom, and there was nowhere she should
go. They have to go to the toilet every 15 minutes.
They have to go. So we had to go into a shopping centre, go up some escalators, and she had to find a bathroom, go back down. By this stage, we'd been out for like 45 minutes. The poor thing's doing like a half marathon pregnant. We get there. It was closed.
You're a nightmare.
I hadn't read the website. They were only doing dinner.
How's her emotions? Is she yelly at this stage?
She's almost, you know, in tears, and she knows I'm trying to make an effort, right?
Oh,
and but she's starving because she's pregnant, so we just had to go into like whatever the first place we saw, like a takeaway place next door. I'm talking dim sims in a bain marie kind of thing, which is not. It was meant to be a romantic last thing before we have a baby, and she's sort of trying to be okay about it, but she's starting to get annoyed. And I said, all right, why don't you stay here? I'll go and get the car and I'll come and pick you up.
Good work.
Perfect. No, she goes, no, I don't want to be away from you. Come on, we'll go together. So I'm carrying her bump back up the street.
Oh.
We're going. We get there. We finally get to the car.
Yeah.
And I go, oh. She goes, what? Parking ticket.
What a day.
And I looked at her and I said, I tried. And she said, I wish you wouldn't. Major escalation of the problem with North Korea. They fired a missile. It went over the top of Japan. And, Marto, that is not what you're meant to do in a time of peace.
Imagine if we did that to New Zealand. It'd be on.
Well, look, that's another question. But we do have someone on the line who's a Brisbane native living in Tokyo, Daniel. G'day, Daniel.
Good morning, guys. How are you
doing? Well, mate, we're all right. Is it... So what actually happened? Did you read about it in online or anything, or did you get warning, or what happened in Japan when this missile flew over?
Yeah, Yes, I sort of just woke up, got ready to go to work, and saw on social media a few things that have been interesting, so I turned the TV on straight away, and every news channel had the J Alert warnings coming at us, which is sort of the National Broadcasting Emergency System warnings if there's earthquakes or tsunamis, but this time it was for potential missiles and to seek shelter
in the
northern parts of Japan.
That came through on your mobile phone, correct?
Yeah, mobile phones, and then on some of the TV channel was switched onto it. They stopped on normal TV and it was all just the news about that, yeah.
And were people scared, Daniel? I mean, that's a pretty full-on thing to get on your phone. There's a missile coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem I was talking to lots of my friends is they don't speak Japanese that great, so they're not exactly sure what to do in the situation or what the signs or warnings would be for if it was happening over Tokyo. Thankfully, it was all far, far, far away from us here down in Tokyo. But, yeah, it'd be pretty scary for people up in Hokkaido.
What's the explanation on why did he send it over the top of Japan? Has anyone delved down what he's up to?
I think there's war games and practices happening in Korea between Korean and US forces.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a bit of a flex of muscle just to let people know. But that being said, it's pretty hard to understand what's going through the heads of the North Korean authorities at the moment, really.
And so just day-to-day, Daniel, when you're living in Japan, and it's because that's one of the targets that he always mentions, Japan. Is it something that people, you know, worry about? Is it in the news a lot?
Yeah, it's pretty regularly. There's updates on what's happening or, you know, in the region and at work and things like that where we take preparation. So, for example, yesterday we had a shelter drill that we do. I work at a school. So it's a bit like an earthquake drill or a fire drill, except it's a nuclear missile coming towards the city.
So the whole school, what goes in, have you got an actual bunker underground?
We've got our drama room in the basement. So the whole school sort of has to get into the basement where we keep water and food for 3 weeks. It's down there.
Jesus.
So apparently there's 10 minutes you get once sort of the warning's gone to get into shelter. We made it in under 5 minutes, so we're happy about that.
It was under five. You had a personal best time.
Under five.
Exactly. Daniel, Aussie bloke living, a Brisbane native living in Tokyo. Just on that, do you love it? What's it like? You like living in Tokyo?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. I came over here for 6 months, and that was 7 years ago.
Wow.
So I just came over for a holiday.
You're still there.
Couldn't go back home. Got back home and thought, no, Dixie life is that's what I want to enjoy. So, yeah, it's pretty great over here.
Oh, good one.
Good on you, Daniel. I don't know what's goodbye in Japanese.
It's sayonara's goodbye or matane, see you soon.
Sayonara.
Yeah, let's go with the one. We don't want to go sayonara. That might be a prelude to what's coming. Let's go the other one. See you soon. All right, Daniel.
See you soon.
Daniel, thanks, mate. Stay safe. See ya.
No worries.
Where'd that come from?
Let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we?
All right. I was having a quiet beer last night with my two of my neighbours. We've all lived in the area for 20 years, and this is how this all started
last week.
I know, that's what my wife said. Committee meeting on a Tuesday.
That's okay.
Interesting. Yeah, don't judge me. Anyway, I told them how well the Bullen's Line Safari, and they said, yeah, we heard it. It was unreal last week. Why don't we do it again? I said, no, it's my radio show. It's said my radio show here.
That's right. Forget it.
All right. We've got another one. Run this one by you. Amazon's water park at Jindalee.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Grundy's at Cavill Avenue.
That's me. The Grundy's, that's me. That's me every day of the week. Putt-putt golf on the roof. Yes. Absolutely astonishingly great course that was. Some sun damage, but don't worry about that. There was you could go and have your photograph taken with celebrities, like the cardboard cutouts. There was like a Wild West shooting thing that was really good.
How long can I jump in on that one? Because I put it on Facebook. This is at 4 o'clock this morning, Grundy's and Amazon's. What do you remember? This bloke, I used to love the shooting thing at Grundy's when you'd shoot the piano player in the ass and he'd play the piano.
Yes, that's right. And there used to be a buzzard too, like
Old West.
Yeah, and you'd shoot it, and it would go like, wah, wah, and it would squawk. That was really good.
But the really good. Water slides there were incredible. That was the first time. Remember, I think it was the Stereo 10. There was a Stereo 10. I think it was, was that a radio station or the TV station?
Radio? Who cares?
I remember this. This had to be in the late 70s, early 80s, we're talking about Grundy's. We want to hear your memories of it because I put a thing in there about Amazons. Now, Amazons, for anyone who doesn't know, as you went going outbound towards Ipswich over the Jindalee Bridge, on your left was Brisbane's first ever mega water slide. It was amazing.
Wow, okay.
And people used to go there for school excursions. Listen to this bloke. He's he used to go there for everything. Toboggan at Amazons. This bloke went there for a school excursion. My mates and I had competition who could make it all the way to the garden at the end of the pool. Remember that? You'd slide across the water.
Because that was the problem. If you went too far, you'd land in the garden. Back fence. That's very true.
And he goes, next time I went there, they put a fence across there in the pool.
What are your memories of Amazons Water Park, Grundy's?
Do you remember the one at Amazons where you walked out onto this platform and then the floor just opened and you went straight down?
Well, maybe Amy from Springfield. Well, is that the one that is that the one you're remembering, Amy?
Yes, that was called the shotgun.
Shotgun.
Wasn't it freaky? It was like jumping out of a plane.
It was very, very short. So before you knew it, you were in the water.
How often did you used to go there, Amy? Some people had season passes, or did you get an Amazon's passport?
I only ever went there for school excursions.
School excursions, yes.
Teachers who couldn't be bothered. Day off,
yeah, exactly.
Giving up. Thanks, Amy. Brad, were you about Amazon's or Grundy's?
I was bringing you about Grundy's.
Yeah, do you remember, Ed and I were just talking about a song. There used to be a story about razor blades being found there. Have you ever heard, do you remember that?
Put your flags at half mast. It was terrible. But I was actually, after I spoke, I thought I'd do some Googling on the matter. And it's actually, apparently that people say it's a myth, but I'm 100% sure I remember hearing the story in the news. Some idiot managed to attach razor blades to the slides at Grundy's.
Yeah, you know? Can you tell everyone the full story? So the story went around. No one ever saw a photo, was there? There was never any photos?
I don't think so. No. But basically, some kids were getting cut or something and injured and whatever. But again, I've never seen photos of kids with, you know, blood streaming out their arm for running over a razor blade, you know.
Was that the end of Grundy's when they started these rumours of razor blades?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, no one went there anymore.
Much after that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, actually, thanks, Brad. On that, John from Canungra, you got you know something about this razor blade story?
Oh, I reckon it was a myth, but I did have friends, the Cyfleets, they were loaded and they went there all the time. Yeah. And I think he told me about the razor blades there, but I reckon it must have been a myth. But I think you're also forgetting about Wild Waters, mate. It was the other one. We was before Amazon's on the left on the way down to the coast. Had a big dragon up in the water slide.
Where are we? Wild Waters.
Oh, she was about halfway down near a go-kart track, near Le Mans, I think.
Oh, it's still there. I think Le Mans is still there somewhere. It's held on.
Yeah, but Wild Waters, there used to be a big tap that had water coming out of it, and it looked like the tap was sitting up in the middle of the air. But anyway, and Amazons, mate, they had a colouring in comp, and you could win a season pass there. That's about your season passes. All the schools got a chance to colour in the logo, and if you won, you got yourself a season pass.
Wonderful. Ed, you've just dug up the Grundy's ad. What is it?
Yeah, go for it. Take a look at what there is to do here. Take a look. If you thought it fun before, well now, there's so much more. Take a ride on the mighty Krypton. Taste the food and play the games. Try your luck, chase after fame. Grundy's in Paradise Center. The center of Gold Coast.
The centre of Gold Coast excitement.
It was true.
What was the Krypton? What was a Krypton?
No, that's the thing. It's essentially when you have to put a list to music, you kind of got a deal.
You got rhyming stuff to think
with of. You got stuff with the rhyme scheme and stuff. So I can't remember what the Krypton was. Maybe someone will know. But that take a shot of fame.
I
that
just
was
had a note of somebody who says she still got some Grundy's tokens.
I don't know if they're still redeemable. Garth from Hendra. Now this is about the water park, I believe. Amazons?
Yeah, it's about Amazons.
Yeah.
What happened, mate?
Well, we used to go there once a year with family friends from Sydney, so it was, we used to go there quite often. But the toboggan was the killer because it was. Remember back in the day, it still had the old wooden, boards, not the plastic ones that they were brick paper. But I'll set the story up. So I remember being behind my mum. She's on one side, and there was a 10-year-old kid on the right hand side.
Yeah.
And he'd gone down. They used to go down one at a time. Yeah. And he went down, and forgot to lean forward. So he obviously leant back, lost the board, and scraped his back going down the toboggan.
So he's sitting in the pool near the exit.
Yeah, so he's made it to the pool, but obviously there's a bit of blood. And my mum's sitting on the left-hand side ready for her go, worried about the kid in the pool, not hanging onto the board. Well, the lifeguard has fainted and pulled or pressed the button for my mum to go. And, of course, she's gone down without hanging onto the board and without knowing. And, she almost did the same thing. So I remember just seeing my mum ricketing from side to side, trying to get one handle, then the other handle. And by about halfway, she got it. She managed to save herself. But, it's been a story that she's told forever.
The lifeguard fainted. What a great sign that is. Thank you, Garth.
At the side of
the blood. Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you, Garth. Shane from Goodner. Now, Marto, you've said that the Amazons was a place where people got a lot of pashes. Shane, did that happen to you?
Oh, mate, yeah. First concert, first tonguey. 91, 92. Jesus. The Boom Crash Opera and Johnny Diesel New Year's Eve concert, bud. Rocking it out.
Year's Eve at Amazons. That would have got a bit out of control, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I just turned 14 I was.
Yeah,
first
concert,
first tuggy, mate. I can't forget that one.
Please stop saying tuggy.
Beautiful. No, let him go. He's having fun, mate.
Hey, Shane, when do you reckon it closed up? Was it mid-90s?
Yeah, sort of mid-90s, late-90s.
Yeah, I know.
And they built bloody another DFO centre.
Yeah,
Nothing wrong with
shoes
DFO.
Are important, mate. Hey, how did you ever see the girl again?
Nah, mate, no.
She's probably listening. New Year's Eve thing. She might be listening. Shane, thank you. Dean's from Hillcrest.
Imagine if she rang and said, can you give me Shane's number? I'll never forget it.
Now, Dean, which one? Amazon's or Grundy's?
Amazon's, mate.
What do you got for me?
My father-in-law actually pulled it down. He's still got the water slides in his paddock.
Hold on. Hold on. What?
Yeah. Well, a few of them got washed away in the floods there from the Logan. You know, like floods not long ago because he's down near Chambers Flat there. Yeah. There was one Christmas time there. We had a big do, and we put one of those big long slide bits with the little lip on the end, and we took it around a friend's place and spiked it up in a tree and put it over the in-ground pool, and the kids had a ball. We ran the pump from the pool up to the top there, and we had a big extension ladder, put the big extension ladder up for the little kids, and they used to go flying right up there and flying down into the pool.
Oh, my God.
So it lives on, mate. The joy lives on at your farm.
He still actually got the actual crate where you actually mould, like to actually make them, you know, like the actual mould bit that...
Wow, so we could bring it back. We could make our own one.
Yeah. There's a few of them stuck in the creek, like submerged, but yeah, there's still a few of them there. Like,
we're not far from the Brisbane River here. If we could build one from our veranda over the M1, you know, the riverside.
We've already thought about that. We were thinking about putting some up on the farm and like joining a few up together and run a pump from up the dam, up the top there, and just have the kids go sliding down into the dam.
I bet you would.
That's wonderful, Dean, for bringing a bit of Amazons home with you. You're going to the Greek Club, $100 to spend, the greekclub.com.au. Nice. Perfect for Father's Day. Well done, Dean.
Ah, sweet. Cool.
Ah, the old days. Excellent. They were dangerous.
They were.
How are we still alive?
I don't know. Marto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shane Chakra's Abbott gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Marto, you would have seen the devastation in Houston, United States. This vortex, they're saying, where it's just picking up rain, then dumping it back down, picking it up, dumping it back down. They're expecting Is it another metre of water to hit them? They're having to relieve dams. It's terrible stuff. And joining us on the line now is Ashley Mullaney, Channel 7's US correspondent, who's live from Houston. Hi, Ashley. Nice to speak to you. Well, what's going on in Houston at the moment?
Good morning, guys. Well, where I'm standing at the moment, I'm standing right on Lake Houston in a car park here, a marina that is pretty much underwater. And there's about a dozen boats still streaming in here at the moment to carry out rescues. You would have seen the incredible pictures of neighbours grabbing their boats and heading out into the water to help rescue their neighbours, because authorities, they're just inundated. They just can't keep up with the 911 calls. So these rescues are still happening. There's still people trapped here. And community just can't cop a break. But as you said, it's now gearing up and gathering steam to head to Louisiana, expected to hit there tomorrow. And all of this, 12 years to the day since Katrina hit. So this community has just been through through such a tough time.
Hey, Ash, I just saw a thing on my Facebook. I reckon it's one of the motorways leading into Houston. There's about a kilometre, maybe 150 boats behind cars going into Houston to rescue people. So are they asking for these people? Like, volunteers are coming into Houston from all the surrounding states, etc., to rescue people. Are they doing that off their own bat or being asked?
Yeah, a lot of people have just used their initiative to come in. They just realised that, authorities were just stretched to their limits. And they did ask. They said anyone who's in the, yesterday or the day before, I think they called for people to come in. And the communities responded. The Cajun Navy that set up during Hurricane Katrina has come in from Louisiana to come and help with the rescues as well. And I'm all surprised to see a picture like that with 100 boats on the road, because where I'm standing now, the boats are just still going out into the water and it's still pouring with rain. It just won't stop. So I'll just explain as well. We reached a record today, the most rainfall of a tropical storm to hit America, 50 inches. Back in Australia, that's about 1,200 millimetres, which is
1.2 metres.
Oh, so 1.2 metres, 1.2 metres of water. Now, Ashley, I heard overnight that the dams around Houston were going to break. So they've actually had to release more water from the dams into Houston.
They started doing that yesterday. They started letting some of the water out, so it was a controlled release yesterday. But those dams have now breached and the water's starting to spill over. The dams are at their limit. In fact, the flood gauge or the water gauge on some of those has been flooded as well. So the water is now pouring in, which is threatening communities as well. Some of those reservoirs are set up to stop flooding in downtown Houston, which is where I've been staying. Thankfully, it's not flooded yet, but who knows what could happen with those dams spilling over now. Everything's just so unpredictable. Yeah, I've never seen anything like it.
And Trump's landed there, I believe. Is that good or bad?
Trump's here with his USA cap, and I think I saw Melania Trump wearing a new FLOTUS cap today.
Oh,
so she's copped a bit of flack, actually, for stepping out in her stilettos when she was getting onto Air Force One. They've gone straight to Corpus Christi, which is a town about 3 hours from where I am. Where Harvey hit, they had pretty bad damage from the winds, but it's just not the right time for him to come to Houston. They're still dealing with the crisis here.
Yep.
But, there was quite a... You asked if it's a good or bad thing. He did have a few supporters come out to greet him when he was there having that meeting with the governor, and he came out afterwards waving the flag and going, look at the turnout, this is amazing. And, he's been... People are saying, was that really the right response? Because it was almost like something he would have said at one of his rallies.
He can't help himself, Ashley. He just can't help himself. Ashley Mullaney, Channel 7 US correspondent. You can see her reports all day on Channel 7, reporting live from Houston.
It's going to keep going, isn't it?
It is. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you, guys.
Let's talk some cricket overnight in the subcontinent. There is Australia versus Bangladesh. We need 160-something runs. We've got 8 wickets in hand. The ball's turning sideways. And
can you give me the facts? Who wrapped up the Bangladesh innings?
Nathan Lyon got 6 and a run out.
Oh, my God.
And so what's going on is... But they were throwing their wickets away. Man, they could have batted us into the ground.
Is it spinning? Like, is Nathan Lyon actually spinning the ball?
You know how much it's spinning? Ashton Agar spun the ball.
Oh, that's nasty.
So you know.
That's nasty. When it hits, is there a little bit of dust coming up?
If it hits on one, they call them footmarks, but they look like a North Korean bomb has landed somewhere in the pitch because It's just appalling. Like, well, it's just...
So then, right, so we go in, what do we need? 260, did you say?
Yeah.
How did our favourite, Matty Renshaw, go?
No, not great. He didn't have the best. Not first innings, he was all right. He wasn't great in this one. David Warner is the one sort of standing up, 75 not out. Now, his subcontinent record isn't the best, but it's not the worst, but it's not great. He's just not good against India, right?
Yeah.
But now the other one is the key
position.
Hold on,
I've just been handed this. What's this? Batting statistics in tests in Asia subcontinent. Okay, right. Same thing around India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. 32.3. Now, he's averaging over 50, isn't he, in normal tests?
Yeah.
All right, so that's all right, 32. Yeah, good.
What about Khawaja? Because he was out. Right. And they don't like him. Something about him, the Bangladeshis are really on him. They're really happy. When they get him out and they're all jumping up and down, you're like, why do you care about him?
Well, let's not forget 2011, the Bangladeshis hate Pakistanis. Because don't forget, 2011 when he came into the test team for the first time, he was the first Muslim and first Pakistani-born Australian cricketer.
Maybe. But anyway, they were really over the moon when they got him out. And I was like, well, you'd be more excited if you got Steve Smith out, wouldn't you? Usman Khawaja's not free.
So we got Steve Smith and Warner still there. Usman Khawaja, how many runs did he make?
Not many.
Right, his average over in Asia, 14.6, batting at number three or four for his
three.
And I just looked up, and you know I like to look these sort of things up. He makes $1.5 million a year minimum.
Now
that's
$30,000
a week. Everyone hear that? $30,000 a week to make 14 runs per test.
So this is where, and I'm glad you brought this up, because now that they've done this huge thing about complained about their pay and wanting to get millions of dollars, this is exactly what's going to happen. Because this is what happens in the NBA. This is what happens in the NFL.
That's right.
As soon as you start, even what happens in soccer, as soon as you start going poorly, they advertise your wage and you are gone and you are never seen again.
Wow. Is that right?
Yep.
Well, cricket's the stats. Like it's there in bare black and white figures. It is there for everyone to see. That's how many runs you make. That's how much you get paid.
Yep. Which is why I've always said that you should get paid per run. Base salary is zero. And you get paid.
Performance, yeah.
Yeah, like
on a
commission.
Well, hold on. You think about a good year when they hit 1,000 runs. Like Matt Hayden used to have good years. 1,000 runs in a calendar year.
Yep.
Well, let's say they're getting paid a million. So that's, what's that?
1,000 for 1,000. Yeah.
$1,000 a run we'll pay you next year.
Yep.
How many do you make, Izzy? Oh, I'll be going back to labouring. I'll get paid more. What about this one, Ed? Of course, the Raiders play the Storm this weekend. And guess who's been picked for the Raiders? Sia Soliola.
Oh, dear.
The bloke who tried to decapitate Billy Slater 5 weeks ago. His suspension up and he's back.
Well, on the line now joining us is that man himself, Billy Slater. G'day, mate.
Morning, guys.
How are you feeling? You've recovered fully from that awful tackle a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm going all right. Thanks, guys. It's those incidents aren't great, but you get on with things, and I've moved on.
Hey, Billy, all the experts are going, oh, no one can beat Melbourne Storm. Now, that's never going to be true. In your mind, who's the most dangerous team in the comp?
Oh, I think there's a handful of dangerous teams in the competition, and you know those teams that are fighting for the top four spot. Obviously, it's important to be at the right end of the ladder to give yourself a great opportunity in September. But it's just as important to be playing good footy at that time of the year. We finished first before, and we've been sitting on the sidelines 2 weeks into the finals. So, it's important to be playing a good brand of footy at this time of year.
And you've got a new book out, Billy Slater, the autobiography. How much time do you spend talking about, you know, I was going to be a jockey. I wanted to be a jockey, but it didn't work out, so I thought I'd play rugby league.
A little bit. I suppose I just told my story of where I come from and how I got to where I am today. So it was quite an enjoyable experience reflecting on on my journey and the ups and downs that I've experienced.
Where did you want to play? When you first started wanting to play rugby league professionally, where did you want to play?
Yeah, it was just I just loved rugby league, and I still do. I didn't really care. I got an opportunity down in Melbourne when I was 17. I went down to Brisbane and played for Brisbane North, and they were affiliated with the Melbourne Storm. So the Storm were the first team that gave me an opportunity, and I've always remembered that when I re-signed, and I've always wanted to stay down here. So I'm very lucky to be a select few that have been able to stay at the one club for a long period of time.
Can you remind me of those days, early 2000s, it was at Devils at Bash Up Park. There was you, Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We all played at 17-year-olds. We played in the under-19 competition there, and we all come through together. So it's been a hell of a ride together, and it's been great.
Take me to the car park at Bash Up Park there. What cars were the three of you driving? What pulled up to go to training?
Okay. Well, I had an old Nissan, but Pintara.
Ooh, the Pintara.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, I've got that wrong. That was Cooper. Cooper had a Nissan Pintara. His car was like a grandma's car. He had the smelly things coming off the rear view mirror and all that sort of stuff.
Be an auntie's
immaculate. I had an old maroon Mitsubishi Magna.
The really square one. Was it the round one or the square one?
Nah, the square one.
What a car!
Similar shape to Cooper's actually, and Cameron, the petrol head, he had an old Kingswood. It was about 1969 Kingswood or something like that.
Old man would have sorted that out.
He's actually since had it done up and restored, and he's got it down here in Melbourne now.
Classy.
Quick one on the coaching situation. You reckon Kevy would be all right at the Gold Coast?
Oh, look, I've got no doubt that Kevy's qualified to coach an NRL team. He's done his trade under two of the greatest coaches to ever coach, Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett. He's already coached in a head role overseas, and he's doing a fantastic job with Queensland. That'd be the biggest question. It's not the question of whether he's capable of doing it. It's whether he'd be willing to give up the Queensland job. He's just taken over from Mel Meninga, and he's won two series on the trot, and he's in a really good position. He's got some really good young guys coming through in developing in Queensland. And, I suppose it's about where his ambitions are and what he wants to do with his career.
He's done a good job, apart from game one when he left you out.
Yeah, look, it was pretty tough. Look, I was disappointed, and I let Kevy know that. But I respected it. And it's a really tough decision. Like the boys won the series the year before, and I know how hard a decision it would have been, but I respected it, and I still wanted the best for the team.
Nice.
Oh, that's cute. Hey, Billy Slater, the book is called Billy Slater, the autobiography. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Hi. I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Marto, so you see a story in the newspaper sometimes and you're like, oh, I got to get more information on this. This was the headline. Asylum seeker scam is exploiting Aussie medical welfare to live rent-free in Sydney and other parts of the country. And when you read that, they want you to go, what? And keep reading.
But you dug down. Tell us what it said.
Well, it said that there were people who were arriving illegally and then saying, okay, no, I've got medical issues. And then ending up with houses apartments in Woolloongabba, $370 a week rent that we were paying, $1,000 in energy vouchers for these people.
Yep.
And I thought, hang on, I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's get him on. Peter Dutton, the local member for Dixon, also the what is your official title now, Peter Dutton? What's that new ministry called?
Morning, guys. So I'm the Minister for Immigration and Border Protection and Minister Designate for Home Affairs.
Oh, that's right. I knew you had a new one, the big office.
And you're having a lot of fun.
It's all joy.
So what is this, Peter Dutton? You're quoted as saying that there are people sort of looking for a free ride, essentially. What is going on?
Well, I think it's a bit rough, Ed, because people have sought to come here from Nauru, for example, and get medical attention. We've said, okay, well, you can come down. The doctors have said you need that medical attention.
Yep.
In many of the cases, they're just people that don't need medical attention, but they're providing support to the patient. So they come down, have their medical attention. The doctors have said, okay, all done. You're clear to go back. And what they've done is then taken out an injunction in the High Court and stopped us from returning them back to Nauru. And whilst they're here, under the arrangements, they get free accommodation, which is better than we even provide for Australian pensioners who only might get a rent supplement to help them pay part of their rent.
Right.
And as you say, there's lots of other benefits that add up to a lot of money, and I just think enough is enough.
And that's where our tax goes.
How much is it costing a year?
Well, it costs in total about $40 million a year, but remember, out of the 50,000 people who came on the 800 boats, there are still 30,000 that we're managing, that we're trying to return and process, and that's costing Australian tax.
30,000 still here?
Yeah, and Marto, the point is that for many of these people, they know that they can't be sent back to, say, a country like Iran, because Iran says, look, unless the people want to voluntarily come back, we're not going to issue travel documents and they can't come back. So it's costing us almost in total about $2 billion a year, which is, I just think, money we could better spend on other Australians who have worked hard, like pensioners, worked hard all their life. And then it's inconceivable to me that that there wouldn't be a change, and that's what we've tried to put in place.
Wow. I'm looking at, there was a detail here of someone who fell off at some gym equipment, got treated in Australia, no longer requires any treatment, but won't go back. Did you see that case? Well,
yeah, and there's plenty more like it, unfortunately. This is a problem. So I think people were gaming the system. This was the way that you got to Australia, and then the lawyers took this legal action when you got here. But I've been very clear in saying we're just not going to cop it.
What is going on at Nauru, Manus Island, et cetera, at the moment? Where are we at?
Well, we've got a deal with the United States, Marto, where we've said 1,200. About 1,250 people we can take from Manus and Nauru. So there are no women or children on Manus Island. Predominantly, they're people from the Middle East, and we're trying to get them back. But as I say, they call our bluff and say, well, we know that you can't send us back. So that's a difficult situation to deal with. But anyway, that's the problem we've got, and we'll have to resolve it.
All right, so just on to other things, I understand there's a seniors expo that you wanted to talk about as well today.
Yeah, just very quickly, guys, a quick plug to the seniors expo with the Strathpine Community Centre. We hold it each year. I've been going for about 12 years or so, and it's targeted at people over 60. So, Marto, you're not quite in the category, but getting pretty close, mate.
His knees are.
I'll send Mum out, Pete.
For an entry, they get a show bag of all sorts of goodies, and it's a good opportunity to provide a bit of information about community services and bits and pieces that are able to help people that, might be stuck at home normally. So, yeah, it's a really good day on today and tomorrow.
Look all after right, our own. Well done, mate.
All right, Peter Dutton, member for Dixon. I can never get right. He's the minister for many, many wonderful
minister
things.
Minister for tossing people out.
Immigration and border protection.
Yeah, thanks, Peter.
Expulsion.
Thanks, guys, yeah.
Marto, Ed and Robbins, lend a hand.
Well, this time, Ed, we're helping Orange Sky Laundry. Of course, they're the organisation, a charity, that offers a free mobile laundry service for the homeless. They were set up about 3 years ago. Became Young Australians of the Year, Nick and Lucas, who set it up. Quite simply, they go out with two washing machines in the back of the van. Well, that's how it started. Two dryers, and they say to all the homeless people, they stop at about 8 different locations. This is how it started. Mm. Now they have 14 vans, and they want to get bigger as well, because the government ain't helping homeless people enough, but they not only need help with, this is for their dignity, but they also need a chat occasionally. And they said, well, we're moving premises. Can you guys give us a hand? And yesterday, people went nutso.
Yeah, we knew what help they needed, and we've had another huge response this morning, Brendo. So many people giving us a shout.
Absolutely, I've listened to some of these.
Clayton from Blue Dog Painting and Maintenance.
I can rally a whole bunch of painters in Brisbane, and I think if I talk to my good friends at Taubman's Paint, I reckon I could probably sway them into donating the paint as well.
Alex from Ipswich is here as well.
You're from ADB Painting and Decorating.
We'll be more than happy to help out with paint, and I'll get on to Dulux, mate, as well, and see if they can throw some stuff in. And
of course, we were saying we needed the concrete levelling. We need a flooring grinder. Was. Steve from STS Applied Systems. Is that your go, that sort of stuff?
We'll get them set straight. We'll go a variety of different machines depending on the size of the job.
That's awesome. All right, Steve, thanks so much.
Cheers,
from
mate.
STS Applied Systems Queensland. Concrete grinding, who knew? Wow, there you go.
Concrete polishing, Josh does it as well. Josh Marucci Door.
Yeah, basically get it all sorted, all usable, easy to clean, all that stuff.
How good's that?
Mate, do you know Jess from Dulux Paint? She said, yeah, that's confirmed. We'll help with the paint. Lisa's Cleaning Maids, they want to help out. Kim from Colonial Wall Linings for all the lining on inside. Wow. Peter from Lucas Concrete Cutting and Coring. How nice are the concrete cutters? And Chris from Superior Applications. It looks like we're nearly there. I'll tell you what they do need. A couple of last things. We're going to have the best working bee there. 6-ton vehicle hoist. You know those things like mechanics have that put the cars on so they can work underneath the vans. They go up. 6-ton vehicle hoist and some storage cupboards.
Well, I tell you what, long-time supporters of Orange Sky Laundry, Trade Tools, Jeremy from Trade Tools is on the line. G'day, Jeremy.
G'day, how are you?
Oh, mate, you've been with these guys for a long time. I went down there the other day. Your gear's all over the joint.
Yeah, I mean, Trade Tools have been helping out the team at Orange Sky for over the last 12 months, or a bit more than that, actually, donating tools for their workshop down there. We heard the Triple M lend a hand shout-out, and Trade Tools would love to help out.
Oh, mate. Well, they've got to reset themselves up. You know the operation they're running at Windsor there. They've got to take that whole workshop where they're building the vans over to Albion. So, mate, they will need they'll need help, but I know you guys will help them out.
Yeah, look, definitely. And we've arranged a load of new tools and workshop equipment for our new workshop over there at Windsor. So,
great. Thanks, Jeremy.
Orange Sky and the team continue to do really great work for our community.
Yep.
And all of us here at Trade Tools really hope that this new load of tools is going to help them do the great work that they do.
Hey, Jeremy, can I just say one other thing about you guys? Thanks for all the help with Mates in Construction. You know, there's a lot of depression in the construction industry, and you guys are right at the forefront. So thank you, mate, from everyone involved in construction.
Look, we're happy to help out in the small way that we can.
Beauty, mate.
Good on you, Jeremy from Trade Tools. Appreciate that.
What about the other one was, about I reckon a minute after we started talking about this yesterday, an old mate of ours, a great friend of ours, Ken from Height for Hire, texted me straight away and said, we're on to this, Marto. We'll help out in any way. Ken, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
Thanks again, mate. Did you say, I said to Ed, I think Ken said he's already sending a scissor lift if they need to do any of the ceiling work over yesterday or today.
Yeah, there was one there about 10 o'clock yesterday morning.
That was quick.
You're too good. You are quite simply too good. I told two blokes yesterday, I said, stop using anyone else. Height for Hire has got this enormous heart. Plus, they've got all the best equipment in the business. God, Lord.
Good on you, Ken. Always cab off the rank. Good on you, mate. Appreciate that. Thanks so much to everyone who wants to get involved. TripleM.com.au.
We're in this together. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, very, 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 very well done. There's going to be so many people going and helping out. TripleM.com.au. If you would like to try and lend your support to Orange Sky Laundry as well. Is that us, Brendo? We've got to get out of here, surely.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, if you know anyone as well that needs a hand, then you can go to the Lend a Hand page and register them, triplem.com.au. Always looking to help out in the community.
We are looking to help.
We've got to get out of here. It's been a good couple of days. Just the fellas, but Robin Bailey is
no
back
yellow
tomorrow.
Cards.
I know.
It's been amazing.
Well, she hasn't been badgering me to give you guys any. I'm sure there's been plenty of
offences.
She's
the Cam Smith of radio.
Yes, indeed
she is. She's always in the referee's ear.
She does a wonderful job. She'll be back tomorrow. We need to leave. We'll catch you tomorrow.